For the reading of the Word of God, as you follow me along in 2 Kings chapter 5 and in verse number 1. I won't say I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
What I read tonight is, as the summers go over my head, I get more and more glad that I know that I'm born again.
Amen.
And I don't have to go ask the committee.
Right.
I thank God that there's a witness in my heart that God saved me.
Yes.
And I feel saved all the time.
Yes.
And a lot of folks say they don't feel saved all the time, but I do. I don't want to cuss.
Right.
Every day I don't want to cuss like I did. Don't want to drink. Don't want to run around to feel safe every day. And I thank God for it. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go to, go, and I'll send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent unto the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel."
Amen.
So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha.
Yes.
I want to preach for a little while, if the Holy Ghost will help me tonight.
Yes.
On, is there a spot on you? Now, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to the folks in the that's in the seat next to you. But I'm talking to you. Now, I'm not preaching sinless perfection. But I am preaching living right.
Amen.
And I am preaching that we got a right to expect folks to live right.
Amen.
If they have favor with God.
Amen.
And are able to influence
lost people
in these last days.
Yes.
Now, leprosy, as far as a parallel will go, parallel sin in the Bible. And I want you to look at the case that we have before us. Now, leprosy doesn't just jump on you all at once and kill you the same day.
Right.
But it just kind of starts secretly, and then it grows on you.
Yes.
Now, I want to tell you that we've got a lot of little sins in the church house that folks say don't really matter.
Right.
I mean, you just sin a little bit, and nobody will ever know about the little things you do and say.
Yes.
But sin's got a way of growing on you.
Yes.
Now, here is Naaman. The Bible said, a mighty man of valor. I think probably the second in power in this country. And he's a mighty man of valor. No doubt the young'uns talked about him in town and up and down the street where he traveled. But there's a little something wrong with Naaman.
Yes.
Wasn't much, just a little thing. No doubt one day, while he's taking a bath, he looked at himself and said, "There's a little spot, and it looks like leprosy.
Yes.
But I know what I'll do. I'll just wear a long sleeve shirt, and nobody'll ever know." That's exactly like some church members that think it's all right to sin just a little bit, and nobody'll ever know anything about it. But I'm going to tell you, leprosy spreads. And I'm going to tell you something else. More than likely, Naaman's young'uns knew that he had a spot on him. It's amazing what the children know about that's going on around the house. Now, you might as well come on. It's no use you looking at me. I'm going to preach to you from the bottom of my soul. If there's a spot on you, it'd be good for you to get rid of it tonight. Now, I know you're tired and weary. I can tell you were tonight, but I'm tired too. But I come to do my best. And I'm going to preach to you
we're going to go. I hope it's a month. But however long it is, I'm going to do my best for God. But it seems up to you tonight how to look at yourself in the light of God and be honest with God and with yourself. And if there's trouble in your life, you ought to get in this altar and get rid of it here tonight. Old Naaman was a leper. He was heading for bad times for Naaman. Now, I'm going to tell you that if you got sin in your life, you're not going to just kind of try to hide it, and it'll finally get better. Somewhere up and down the line, you're going to have to deal with it.
That's right.
And where you're going to have to deal with it is in an altar somewhere. Whether it's riding down the road in your car, or in the back room of your house, or here in the church, you're going to have to deal with sin. Now, no doubt there's somebody here tonight, and there's some things in your life that's not right, and that you're trying to cover it up. And I believe that's right. I believe God would have me to say that, that there's some things in your life that you're trying to cover up, and God's going to pull the cover back off of you tonight and let you face your sin again and give you a chance to do something about it. It just may be that there's somebody here, and you know you're not saved, even though your name's on the church book, and everybody has seen you get baptized, and everybody probably thinks most folks that you really hit the rock, but down inside of you tonight, you realize that death is in you, and if you die before birth, you'll split hell wide open. It doesn't make any difference how many churches you have your name on the book. It doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized. If you've not been genuinely born again, you're hell bound, and there's no getting rid of the spot of sin without dealing with it on the altar. And there's a little old maid, a little old girl that he had captured on one of his excursions out on the battlefield in Israel, and had brought that little old maid back with him, and she is waiting on Naaman's wife. Now, I can just see her, it looks like, from the context of the Scripture, that she just kind of minded her own business. And I can see her just taking care of her area in the old Naaman's household. But they soon found out that this little girl had something special about her. Wouldn't it be good if the folks down at the house of God would just take care of their area and not try to get into everybody else's business? And if your job's to play the piano, play it. If your job's to clean the floor, clean it. And if your job's to carry the preacher around, I'd carry him around and do the best job of anybody in the country. Now, I'll tell you what, if I could take you to Kentucky and keep you up there 6 months, or it wouldn't take 6 months, 2 months to do you, you'd come back there and you wouldn't let the preacher even shine his own shoes. You wouldn't let him drive to church when you found out what you got. I won't tell you tonight, if there's some things in your life, you need to straighten it up. You need to do it now and take care of your area where God put you to work. Amen and amen. A lot of churches I go into, they quarrel about who's going to play the piano. And I mean, that's earth shaking. And I mean, whoever's playing the piano, somebody else's daughter can play it better. Amen. And they're always in a fuss and about who the usher's going to be. But I won't tell you, if you give them a job, they don't want that.
Right.
They want somebody else's job.
Right.
Amen. But I'm going to tell you, whatever your area is, that's what you ought to take care of.
Yes.
And I can just see this little Israelite maid back in the back room taking care of her area. And she knew that her master's sick, and she loved him. Now, he is her captor. She is a slave, but she loved him. I'm going to tell you things I may not be going real good for you, and some folks may be mistreating you, but if you're a Christian, you'll love them. I got some folks in my church, and they've got concern, and they've got a leader. And he spoke disrespectful to me. I mean, really. And you say, preacher, what are you going to do about it? Ain't going to do anything about it. Somebody said, preacher, if he comes to your door and said, preacher, I'm sorry, what did you do? And I said, I'd cry over him and tell him I love him. And I've missed fellowship with him. I've down through the years. I'm going to tell you, you got dirt in your life. And you ain't got the right spirit. There's a spot of leprosy on you. And it'll get worse and worse until you get it right with God.
Amen.
But that little old maid said that. Boy, I wish Naaman knew my preacher. Said he'd fix him up. Get rid of his leprosy for him. Boy, it'd be good if we had that much faith in the men of God and what they're doing in this day. Did you know, in my early days, I'm talking back under in the 40s, when the man of God came to town, everything fell quiet. Am I talking right? Oh, yes. Have respect for the man of God. I tell you what, me and the boys standing on Clyde Benfield's front porch, and we had a bunch of firecrackers, and you could get them in Kentucky in them days, and we was lighting them things and throwing them off of the porch out in the edge of the road. And here, lit one of them big old... And just as he did, the preacher driver, and it so struck him, he stood there dumbstruck and let that thing go up in his hand rather than to toss it anywhere near of a man of God. Now, preacher's not in Kentucky down here more all the time, sitting up and talking more up than a dog. Amen. Right. I'm going to tell you the man of God is the only hope for our country. I'm going to tell you the Ladies' Aid Society, how they can't get folks saved. It's going to take the preacher, the word of God, to do the job. And you better think, well, she said, boy, if I could just get him in contact with my preacher, I promise he'd tell him what to do, how to get rid of his leprosy. I'm going to tell you here tonight, if you've got spots in your life, I bet those preachers don't tell you what to do about it. I'm saying, I want God, wave goodbye to everything that's of the flesh, and find me an altar, and pray until the gut feeling flowed from my soul again, and I knew everything was all right. You say, preacher, you're preaching to you. I won't tell you, if there's things in your life, you say, preach, boys, I know I'm all right. Well, wait till tomorrow. The devil pulls some kind of deal on you. Amen. And some reason or other, they had so much confidence in this little girl's word that there's a man of God over in her country that could tell Naaman what to do. They got ready to send him over there on the word of one little old girl that is waiting on Naaman's wife. They must have heard her praying. They must have heard her back there in the bush thicket. Our brothers are getting down business with God and a shout and a victory, thanking God for peace and for glory. I'm going to tell you, it surprised you what you can do if you'd get loose with God and let your neighbors see you in the glory one time. Amen. I know a fellow told me, he said, I was carrying on a meeting, me and the preacher. We'd walk down to church in the morning and we'd pray, come back to the house maybe a quarter of a mile. He said, on Monday morning, we got down about halfway and I heard somebody, sounded like a woman in deep trouble. And I said, preacher, I hear a woman. I heard her screaming. He said, that's Lucy. He said, she's in the church. And she gets over there in that great van patch in the morning. And when I'm going down here to pray, and she just cuts up something awful. And said, she'll pray and pray. And said, you get down here in the church, you'll carry on in the church. And he said, that didn't seem to impress him, but it sure did me. And he said, that night, she said, oh, Lucy got the best time. And said, I told y'all in a van ticket this morning. And said, God told me my husband's going to get saved in this revival meeting. And said, the preacher punched me and said, her husband is an engineer on a train. And said, unto God, she don't even know where he's at. He's gone for days and days and days. He don't ever back in the door of this church. And the next night, this one said to her to pray him the next morning. The next night, she said, pray for my husband. And again, here and get right with God. I was so he can enjoy this meeting. And the preacher said, I heard he was in California on some kind of special deal on the train. And they said, I wish he wouldn't do that. And folks will lose confidence in the meetings. He said, now, well, when she says things like this, does it usually come to pass? Well, he said, yeah, but she just said her husband's way out yonder. And he said, it went on through Sunday morning. And he said, I'd get ready to sing the second or third song. Everybody's seated in the service. And he said, them doors busted open. And a man with a railroad cap on it had that in his head and done wrong and tied in knots and come running down the aisle and said, I don't know whether it's the right time or not, but I've got to get saved. Said, it's been bothering me ever since Tuesday. I know I have to get back to God. I'm going to tell you, it'd be good if our neighbors see what we claim to have on the inside of us. And some of us claim them Christian after 30 years. And the deacons can't even see us. And the preachers don't know whether we've got anything or not. I'd be ashamed if I've been in church for 4 or 5 years. I'm uncertain about whether or not I'm born again. I praise God, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad they said that. That signs of me when God comes around my house. I'm glad, hallelujah. Thank God it's finished. Thank God this is heaven. When the power falls, God's people can give me. I'm glad, thank God. They're forgiven my soul. Lord, be good. Folks around you know what you got. Have you got anything at all? When the preacher asked tonight if anybody had a testimony, I was hoping everybody'd stand up. I asked him, I said, is there fear in the house? He said, not that I know of, and that's the way it has to be. We preachers find out this cuss. Our first assent to say that don't mean anything. And I was expecting everybody. When he says anybody got a testimony, that wouldn't it mean something if everybody jumped their feet and said, I'm a child again. How God did something in my soul and lifted the spots up of me and put heaven in my heart. I give me a shout in my soul.
Hallelujah.
Lord, they begin to get things ready. This little girl had had such an influence. They thought, Lord, if this little girl has got this much, will you make the preacher's God?
Yeah.
Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you go visit him? Now, I'm going to tell you, there ain't much soul winning like this.
Right.
Great God, you go soul winning. Now, that's what they call it.
Yeah.
Have a fit on the front porch. Hey, man, when you get there, get out of the car hollering, the tears running off. I'm going to tell you, you'd be surprised the doors open to you. You wouldn't have to have a track to get in. Great God, the tracks would already be ready. But if it's the door, you could run in. Hey, amen.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having influence on folk around me. I'm talking about getting, now this little girl had the spots up there. She knows she could tell see spots on other folk. Amen. That's what believes it. If you can see leprosy on everybody else. Amen. But you need to look at yourself. This little girl, she done prayed the spots all up her. And she's recommending somebody. Thank God. And somebody said, preacher, do you think a psychiatrist would do me any good? Said, no, sir. Do you think a doctor would help me? Said, no, sir. I think you need Jesus Christ. I believe, great God, if you get a dose of old-time salvation, you can sleep at night. Amen. Thank God. Help me get fast. Have influence on somebody. And they got the chariot ready. And the preacher said, the king thought me himself and said, I know how to move the king. I know how to move all the preachers that I know. He said, we'll send him 2 or 3 suits of clothes and send him a new chariot. Amen.
Yeah.
Some changes of arrangement.
Yeah.
And said, we'll put some money in. We can get anything we want. That's what he done.
Yeah.
Get him way up in the money. He knew that it moved about everybody. And the same here. It'll move about 95% of all the preachers in America. You give him a big enough church and offer him a big enough salary, he'll about preach anything you want.
Right.
A friend of mine said about a few years ago, he had an evangelist to come in. The church had got the preacher before he got there. And he said, we used to sit in the first night. Me and him had kind of made acquaintance and eat supper together. And we used to sit waiting for the choir to get on. And said, the preacher said, how does your people like it? And he said, what do you mean? Well, he said, I got about 3 ways I can preach. I can get rough. And he said, preach on everything comes down. Or he said, I can tell a lot of stories. Or he said, I can just preach a good, warm, evangelistic message. And he said, you preach tonight and do the best you can. And we'll get somebody else tomorrow night. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you under God, it'd be good for us to get loose and be ourselves. And quit putting on at the house of God. Now, when you get right with God, there'll be no trouble for nobody to tell where you're at. I'll just tell you the truth. They already about know where you're at. Amen. The spots on you, it's pretty easy to see when you get right yourself. They rolled up in front of the White House.
Yes.
Old Naaman said, I've got a letter for you. The king sent it to the king. Said, I want you to heal old Naaman of his leprosy. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had somebody in the White House that is that honest? He said, Lord God, I can't do him no good. He said, this situation here, I can't help. Boy, our government thinks they can cure everything. I mean, throw money at it. I mean, if there's something wrong, I mean, put in $100 million and they think that'll cure it. They think by their rubbing homosexuals and saying it's all right. And they don't want nobody to talk about the dirt patties and the holes on the street. I'm a personal old-time preacher. I can preach on sin and right over him. They're all mixed up. The government can't cure anything. They need to make a visit to the house of God and hear God's word preached by the man of God. That's the only thing that'll happen. Well, the old man of God got the word. I've always thought probably he lived in a tent down on the hillside. But he got the news that somebody had come to get healed of leprosy. Now, okay, folk, when you get under conviction, Don't go see the doc. He can't help you.
Right.
Amen. No use to go see the politicians. They can't help you. You're going to have to get to the house of God. Now, let me tell you what a house of God is. It's not the first place you run to that's got a steeple. It's not the place necessarily that's got Baptist real big over the door. It's not where there's a man of God necessarily, where there's somebody up here that's educated and got a King James Bible that pays his tithes. I'm going to tell somebody that's been saved and that God's put his hands on to preach. And somebody ain't afraid of nothing that's tied up with nobody. Whether it's the Southern Baptist or the Independent Baptist. Now, my church is independent, but we're not independent like most folks are independent. I'm independent like my granddad is independent. We don't care what nobody thinks. Amen. Thank God. As one God called me, saved me, and hallelujah, I'm going to serve him. I thought that's exactly the way old Elijah was. And great God is the only thing to do, sir, is only given our days. When we quit running rabbit tracks and trying to please somebody else and please our God,
amen,
we'll see things happen. Now lift the church.
Amen.
Amen. Old Raymond sent word up there. Said, tell him, go on down here. I'll show him he's still a prophet. It is. Boys, I wonder if you're doing your part. I don't know how many belongs here, how many belongs somewhere else. But I'm going to tell you the atmosphere ought to be such at your church that sinners would come and know this is a place for them to get right with God.
Yes,
I pastored a church in Louisville, Kentucky. And we was praying one night in the altar. I mean, them brothers and sisters was praying. And God is settling in around that old altar. And I got up before they did, and there's a man who walked in off the street. And he was drunk. And he was watching them folks pray, standing along about here. And he was staggering, just trying to stand still. And just stood there, real quiet. And they got done praying. And I just went out and touched him. I said, sir, what do you want? And he said, somebody told me my wife is up here. But he said, I don't see her. And he started crying. And he said, I ain't no shape being church. And he said, I'm going to leave. But he said, I want to tell you all this. If I ever get right with God, and then God hits me, I want to get right in here among all these people that's praying and get my soul right with God. Amen. I'm not talking about hay rides. I'm not talking about ball games. I'm not talking about the latest joke that come from the preacher's meeting. I'm talking about the power of God. I'm talking about God's man being serious about this business of leading folks to Jesus Christ. Old Laban come down to the prophet's tent. Prophet, I guess, inside of praying, saying, God, help me to know what to do. Told us a little old assistant pastor, said, I want you to go out and tell him to go down to Jordan and dip himself seven times, and he'll be cleansed. The little old assistant went out and just carried the message.
Yeah.
Boy, sometimes I feel a little, you know, just carrying the message that God wants me to carry. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do it as faithfully as I know how. Just do what God wants me to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, a lot of folks, they want God to come down, you know, where they are. Do great wonders and signs and miracles. It's not just in Jesus' time when folks is looking for a sign, for a sign. That's what a lot of this stuff has cropped up out across the country. They're looking for signs and great miracles. But the New Testament church, they're looking for the preaching of the Word of God and for the great power of the Holy Ghost to come and cleanse sinners. And that make the sinner mad. I mean, just it looks so simple that all he had to do is go wash in the old Jordan seven times. And he said, well, I've got rivers up where I live. I don't have to come drive all the way down here and bring all this money and these changes of garments. Go down there and get in this mud hole. And I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're here and lost, if you got children lost, I'm going to tell you this old time world is just a little bit too plain for most of the world. That it's exactly what Texas has got to do to get cleansed of their leprosy. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad God brought me down out of where I pray and confess and repent. I'm going to tell you this tonight. You think you can get a hold of God and come down here and wearing shorts and chewing gum and get in here and say, here I am, you lucky God. I believe in you tonight and I believe you're the Son of God. You'll die in your sins. Brothers, if you never get to the place where you realize you're a dirty sinner that deserves hell, you'll never get saved. Boy, there's some of them folks with him had a little sense of that. If he'd asked you to have done some great thing, you'd have done it.
Yeah.
I left a whole lot of folks down at the courthouse and down up in the state government.
Right.
If they could have God and have God's power, just donate a few thousand dollars, $25,000, if you could buy it, wouldn't mean nothing. If they thought they could shout the victory and have feel good in their soul, they'd do that. But it takes a little more than that. I tell you what you do, you have to get rid of your pride. Boy, it's all right, man. He was second command in his country. Everybody looked at him up and down the highways and said, that's him, and bowed, and said, that's me. But he said, if you get made whole, you're going to have to go down there and duck yourself in the mud hole seven times to get anything. Boy, that's hard on the pride.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you, if you get right with God, and there's somebody here tonight, thank you, Lord, I believe there's somebody here tonight that's not saved. And I'm going to tell you how to get saved or how not to get saved. You can hold on to your pride and keep trying to testify and to keep trying to convince everybody. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever get saved, you won't try to convince nobody. It'll just work out on you, and there'll be a spirit in you that'll convince all the brothers and sisters that you're a part of the family of God. I got saved, and I said, boy, it's hard on me to get saved. I was under conviction 2 years. I mean, sometimes it is hard. There's days and days that go by after a meeting couldn't sleep. And it's on me hard. I already belonged to church, but I was under conviction. I'd already been baptized, but I was under conviction. Everybody in the church thought I was a good boy, but I was under conviction. I never had been saved. I didn't want to give up on Henry. I was all I had. And, boys, I've kind of been treated rough in my young days, and I thought I had to hold on to everything. But, boys, that blessed morning, I said that blessed morning, I said that blessed morning, when Jesus done a work in my heart, when I waved goodbye, Billy Wright, to this world, and reached out for God, and gave up everything in me, I died for a little while. But, boys, when I come to myself, I was a new creature. That little work done in my heart, that it lasts forever. Throughout eternity. Oh, I'm glad, thank God, it's real in my soul. Hallelujah. Boys, I'm going to tell you, I got started back to the house. I told you the other night, singing Amazing Grace and shaking hands with them persimmon trees, hugging the fence posts and singing Amazing Grace. Great God, hit us different. I mean, I thought a pretty good boy, but I was changed on the inside. But I was happy and didn't really know what I was happy about. Hallelujah! And this tell you the truth, it's still a bubbling. I wanted to holler then, there was no holler like tonight. I still want to holler, because God got rid of the stuff that was in my soul. He done it there, shouldn't they? Thank God that the president had left it. But I'll tell you what, he'd give anything if he had it. Hallelujah! I'm glad it's real. I'm glad, thank God, that God set the word of God. But you'll do about 24 times a forever champion. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, it's a turning to sugar right on the other side of me. I'm going by what God done. Amen. Great God, yes. And once in a while I take royal jelly for my health. It turns to sugar about every 2 weeks. I have to turn the heat up on her and get her turned back right. Hallelujah. Every once in a while when I got my soul gets to turn into sugar. Great God, I get in where the heat's at and it'll melt her down again. Thank God, but one sweet day. Thank God for reality. I told the Lord, I said, now I know I'm saved. But I said, I ain't going to go around telling this. Like everybody does. I said, ain't no use of that. Me and my wife got married, and we went down to another church. We moved out of the church where I was at, where I was raised. And she moved out of the church where she was raised, and we went down. I said, there ain't going to be no fool. Them folks down there, that's going on. And that was ringing in my soul. And I said, boy, that's the place for me, but I'm just going to sit back and enjoy. And one Saturday night, I believe it's Saturday night, we had a meeting. And they got to carry it on. And if something got a hold of this preacher, it wasn't going to tell nobody. Great God. I come to myself right out in the middle of the altar. I'm telling them folks how good it was to be saved. And I'm stopping the floor. And I'm running back and forth and hollering hallelujah and glory. If you got faith, that's a lot better. Now, I'm going to tell you, young preacher, and you folks in here, I can show you the place right today. It was a gravel road then, but now it's a blacktop highway. Driving down the road for myself, I said, God, I'm tired of doing nothing, and I'm ready to go to work. And I was serious down to business. And I ain't hardly had a day since. But what, hallelujah, God's had something to do. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you want to go to work for God, get the spots off of you, and tell God you're ready to go to work and meet it, and God will put you to work. Amen. And the woman said, well, I reckon I'll go down tonight. I invite some of you tonight. I'd get out and try God and get on the business, do exactly what this book told you to do and see if there ain't a cleansing for you. I like you ain't never had a cleansing before. Amen. Boy, it's a shame the world don't know what I'm talking about. They don't have no idea. I think this is all a game. I want to tell you here tonight, if you're here and think this is just another one of the world's games, how long? I thought, you know, they'd told me, sister, about the Easter Bunny. I found out there's a lion. They told me about the Tooth Fairy. I found out there's a lion. They told me about Santa Claus. And I found out there's a lion. Then they told me about Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something. You ought to be careful about what you tell your youngins. All good and perfect gifts don't come from the North Pole. They come from the Lord Jesus Himself. And I said, Lord, but I'm going to tell you what. My mom and daddy acted different about Jesus than they did Santa Claus. My mom and daddy loved God. And I remember I walk into church. We walk. I was about a mile, I guess, dirt road and gravel road. And my mama had one pair of shoes. She wanted them to last forever. She'd carry them shoes till we got inside of the church. It's pretty close. Had a fence post in the corner right where we turned. She'd carry a washcloth with her and wash them feet off and put them shoes on. Well, I'm up to the house of God. Come back after church, come down that fence post and take them shoes off. Walk barefooted the rest of the way home. I remember looking out over that fence post and saying, when I get saved, I want what mama's got. And make her mama walk and take her youngins with her. And walk barefooted to the house of God. In that old church about 3/4 modern, every once in a while my mom would shout. Boy, I thank God for that. I'll never get over that. He said, I believe I'll go down and try it. Went down to the old River Jordan, got out of church and went down one time. And come up and said, boys, it's just like it always was. And they said, that's just one time, Master. He went down again, said, boys, look. It's just like it always was. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to go all the way for God. You just come down here and mumble a little old prayer and say, Lord, I repent. It ain't going to get you anywhere. You're not saved till you get saved. When God saves you, you'll know it. Now listen to me. They'll tell you up and down the line that there's no feeling in it. But they don't know what they're talking about. I'm going to tell you, when God saves you, you'll know something's happened down on the inside. You won't have to say, well, I've done what the book told me, so I know. No. When that supernatural thing happens on the inside of you, and you get changed forever, and all of them old fires and all of them sacrifices back down through the years didn't mean anything except to point you to what happened in your heart, and the blood of Jesus Christ shed on Calvary was done for that moment in your life, and then it happened, and you don't know anything about it. God help, I don't go babbling that. When you get saved, something supernatural happens on the inside of you, and you'll never be the same again. Praise God. I prayed too many prayers and said, Lord, I accept you as my Savior. I believe you're the Son of God. I repent of my sins. I've done that absolutely until I wore out myself down in them pasture fields. But that day when I said, live or die, sink or swim. Boy, when I bowed out to sin, give myself absolutely and totally to Jesus Christ, there's something happened on the inside of me. Thank God I became a new creature. All things passed away and behold, all things that have come new. Amen. I'm going to tell you, get that inside of you. They don't have to get out after you were ready by our own Son of Love and to find you and to get you in the house of God. You get saved, you'll get in. You'll ever be where God's people are. Well, thank you, Lord, for helping me preach. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved. I want to come tonight. I'll not be able to hit a lick, but God's helped me.
Oh, yes, sir.
And I appreciate His help. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Old Naaman come up at some time and said, boys, I feel it. Said, but I don't know, boys. Listen. She said, oh, look yonder. He said, just like a baby skin. That's what he said. He said, she's clean and pure, but you get burned again. The sins are all gone and wiped clean forever. You don't have to worry about getting leprosy again tomorrow. You'll be clean 1,000 years from now. Amen. Glory, glory. Got in that chair. Back over yonder in Naaman's house. Back over yonder in Naaman's house, I see that little old girl. Back in that back room, thank God. That Naaman. That little man about there telling this right. Oh, God help him. God help him. God help him. But you know what I think? I believe he come up that 7 times. She said, Lord, boy, I feel the burden's gone. She said, Lord, look, it is possible. He's got healed of his leprosy. You say, preacher, do you mean you might be praying for somebody and know when something's happening? Yeah, you better believe it. If you ever get a burden this right, if God ever seeks a burden on you and you pull out from under it and that sinner gets saved, don't tell me the burden won't will. Thank God I know it will. I say, old Naaman, come back up to the king's house. All different. I believe his horses even know something's happened in the chariot. I believe his servants know he is a different fella when they got back up there. And lo and behold, did you know when he come back that the old man of God come out of the tent? Now, if you want to shake the man of God up, you're just kind of moaning and groaning. Ain't gonna stir him up too much. But I'm going to tell you, you get down to the River Jordan, get business done, and come back right and see if you don't stir the man of God up. You see, we've seen so many people. I go down, dip 2 or 3 times, and come back and say, I'm all right! Hallelujah, I'm all right! Get in the house and call the house of God, and get in the church and cause trouble. I fuss over the color of the carpet, and don't like the preacher and accuse him of everything in the world. It's not because you didn't go down long enough. And stay with it. Amen. You get up with God, you get the man of God stirred up. Yes, oh, man of God, come out over. Naaman said, I've come to pay you. Said, Lord God, I'm healed. Said, I've got all these clothes and all this money. And said, I'm ready to pay you. Now listen to old man of God. Said, thank you. I wouldn't care for any. Said, thank you. I wouldn't care for no money and no new clothes. You think that made an impression on Naaman? You better believe it. Oh, yeah. You know what's sickening? A money-hungry preacher. Oh, yeah. Now, don't you misunderstand me. You can't pay this preacher right here and there. It don't make no difference. If you pay him $1,000 a week and you got the means to do more, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I'm not talking about that. But I'm going to tell you, the man of God will preach to you whether there's any money coming forth or not. Amen. He's a preacher because he's God's man and not your man. Now, them folks that's your man will preach what you want to hear. But God's man will preach what God wants to preach. Amen. That makes all the difference in the world. No man of God said, I wouldn't care for anything. Thank you. Said, preacher, you don't want nothing. Said, no, I don't want anything. I'm fixed up pretty good. Got my own tent. Got my own Bible. Got some old clothes here, some skins I wear. I believe I'm going to be all right. He said, old Naaman, I missed this for a long time for you preachers, you brother. Old Naaman said, well, if you won't take anything from me, I'm going to get something from you. He said, this is a precious place around here where I got saved and got delivered. He said, I like this. He said, would it be possible for you to load up 2 mule loads of dirt from around here and down there along that river bank and let me take back with me? Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. That old man of God that preached the gospel to you and struck your heart and made you see you as a sinner, you'll never forget him. The old man of God that prayed for you and reached down and said, son, when you know you're saved, said, son, how is it with your soul? And you got up with them tears running and said, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. You'll never forget him. You won't never forget the place where you got saved. There'll be a time and there'll be a place in your heart. Now, I don't know what year I got saved. I'm going to help some of you all. I don't have no idea what I know about what year it was. I was about 14 or 15 years old. And I don't know what month it was in that year. And I didn't know you were supposed to remember the day and the week and the month. There ain't nothing scriptural about that. But I'm going to tell you, I can take you back. They've done got down them bulldozers down in there, right south of Mount Moriah Baptist Church, and pushed that whole country off. That don't make no difference. There's something about inside of me that'll zero in on that place where God done a work in my heart. I've been under conviction so long, I've bounced a mile high, especially when God saved me. There's a time, there's a place in my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. So I wouldn't care for anybody. He said, boys, if you don't care, I'd like to have two new loads of dirt take back with me and said, I'm going to make me an altar. Lord, be good for you to still remember when God delivered you. Make you an altar out of the same material that you used to get right with God. That's humility, absolute surrender to the will of God. That's what will carry you through life. It ought to be on every altar where you pray. He said, I want you to excuse me about something else. Elisha, if you will, I want you to excuse me about something else. He said, I'm the king's right-hand man. And he said, when he goes to worship, he leans on me while he's worshiping on my hand, on my arm. He holds me. So it would be all right if I go with him to worship. Now, boy, that's good stuff right there. Yes. You can get a hold of that. Boy, you need, if you go in any place where you ought not to go, you ought to say, God, excuse me. Would you excuse me for going in here where they sell liquor? Lord, I'm ashamed of myself. Would you excuse me, Lord? He said, man of God, I'll go in over there with him. He leans on me, and I want you to excuse me.
Yeah.
Took off down the road towards home. That little old assistant, while he was sitting there talking to Elijah, had climbed and looked over in that chariot, seen all that silver, all them clothes, and said, that preacher's got to be crazy. Said all that stuff right there for the taking. Now I'm going to tell you, folk, you get to hunting after things,
yes,
and God's going to leave you.
Right.
If your job's more important to you than church, you ain't going to have much God when you get to church.
Right.
You'd rather have overtime as to come to church on Wednesday night. You might as well probably be over at the factory. You wouldn't have much over to church anyhow. I just thought I'd throw that in.
Yes. Good.
Amen.
Good.
He cut through the woods and met him over on the road. Now, I'm going to tell you what, if you want to get a fellow real giddy, just as soon as he gets saved, you know, say, we're going to take up offering tonight, he'll go to reach in for his pocketbook. You don't have to preach to him 6 years on tithing. You know what happens to him? There's some of them old heads gets around him and say, now a preacher goes overboard on this tithing business. There ain't no use you a tithing off the top of your check. And I hear this. And these bunch of independent Baptists, they're bad about that, son. You just kind of do what you feel like God would have you do. I think I've got unhooked here, brother. You want to fasten me? Does that go back in there? And he got over there and said, I'll tell you what. He said, there's been some folks come in. And he said, they're in need. He is a liar. Said, we've got a need. And that boy, I'll tell you, old Naaman is giddy. He'd give him everything he had. He is innocent. He had God in his heart. And he said, boy, we need a couple of chains. He said, take three or four. And he said, take a couple of sacks of this silver with you.
Yeah.
He said, don't leave. We said, take two. He said, it'll be all right. Boy, there's a fellow come in my church a few years ago. Had old long, mangy hair. And he got in there and got saved one Sunday morning. And it hadn't been coming very long. And I was awaiting. Boy, I was preaching. And I'm preaching as rough as I know how to preach. See, you won't have to worry about so much trash joining your church if you just stay preaching pretty rough all the time, you know. And so if you join here, you're going to hear this kind of preaching all the time. We don't put up with no junk. It's a house of God. And get up and brag on your granny and talk about your operations down at the hospital every time somebody wants to testify. And that'll eliminate a whole lot of stuff. And they met me out in the parking lot and said, we got to talk to you, preacher. I said, here it comes. They stood all waiting to stand.
Yeah.
And they're going to stand against me now. And I said, all right, Brother Coates, well, you won't. He said that we was wondering about how we're supposed to pay our tithes. Are we supposed to pay right off the top or pay on the net? I said, cut it right off the top.
Right.
I said, God comes for, if God don't come for the government comes before God. And she looked at her husband and said, I told y'all that's the way it's supposed to be. And that young man had that old long hair. He said, Lord, I'm behind. He said, I'm way behind on my tithing. Come in the next Sunday morning and put a check in the treasury for $4,100. He said, I'm behind. Amen. I mean, he just got saved. Now, there's been a whole lot of folks talk to him since then. He probably wouldn't do it now. Amen. Ain't that right? Some of these Baptist folk that don't believe, but boys, he's got the spots off of him. He's clean.
Amen.
Absolutely. And went back up there and hid that stuff. Got her down and hid it over there in the tower. Said nobody'll ever know.
Nobody ever knew. But he went back in the old man of God's tent. Old man of God said, "Where have you been, son?"
"Yeah."
"Oh," said, "I ain't been nowhere." That's what they'll tell me on Sunday morning. They miss church, you know. Say, "Where you been?"
"Yeah."
"Say, oh, you know, just over here at the house."
"Yeah."
And old man of God said, "Did my heart go with you? Said down yonder when you stopped the chariot by the road, didn't my heart go with you?" Now I'm going to tell you, church members, tonight, when you're out yonder somewhere, do you think this man of God that lays on his face and prays, if his heart don't go with you? When you ought to be in the house of God and you're going somewhere, when you're saying, talking some things you ought not to talk, and he knows about it. I'm going to tell you something else. Do you think God would call him and then put a blindfold on him and not let him see in your clothes closet and in your refrigerator and know what's going on when you're away from the house of God? Don't you know the old man of God, that God makes a shepherd of the church, gives him insight into the lives of his people? Don't you know his heart goes with you when you're not doing like you ought to do? When he's laying and weeping and you say, "Well, he does that all the time." No, he's crying about you and your children. And you ought to thank him for it.
That's right.
Amen. He said, "I'm going to tell you what, son." He said, "That leprosy that is on Naaman, it's going to be on you now and on your children, on down through the years." He wasn't whistling when he left. He said he went out a leper as white as snow.
Right.
You better be careful about how you deal with the things of God.
Amen.
God will get you.
Right. Right.
I see Naaman just as clean and pure. He'd done what he ought to do, heading back over here at the house. I see that little girl in the back room say, "Lord, I believe you've done something."
Yeah.
"I just feel a lift in my spirit, and I believe you've done something." I see Miss Naaman. She's been watching the road now for days. She said, "Youngins, come here." She said, "It looks like Daddy's chariot." She said, "It's whoever it is driving like a wild man."
Yeah.
He's got life. Before death is on him, he's got life now.
Yes.
I see him swaying them horses like a young boy and swing that chariot around up to the yard gate and pull out, saying, "Amazing grace." But hello, everybody. "How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." Said, "Come here, youngins, come here, honey. I want to show you something." Said, "Look at that." Said, "It's all gone. I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. I don't have to die."
Yeah.
I see them youngins dance around him. They don't know nothing about what's happened. But back over yonder, peeping out the door, that little old girl been praying for that old sinner. Said, "The spots are all gone. The spots are all gone." Oh, some of you here tonight, you got young ones, got friends, got neighbors that started with sin. I'll tell you, you need to pray. Some of you in here tonight, some things wrong in your life. Nobody else may not know anything about it, but just between you and God, you know inside you're a dying. And you need to get in this altar and say, "Lord, it's me." Some of you have got hindrances to serving God that you've let bother you for years. Some of you got old feelings that's been laying back a rotting and a killing you for years, and you're letting it happen. Boys, it'd be good for you to come to the altar and say, "No more, God, it's over with." Is anybody in here that you've got all against? If I was you, I'd go to them and say, "I've been a fool. And it's over with. It'll never happen no more. I want to get clean. Get rid of the spots on me." It'll help you. You say, "Preacher, what are you preaching like this for? Ain't no matter many folks here." Oh, yes, I know exactly what I'm preaching about. Some folks here with spots on you that you need to get rid of where you can serve God. Amen. Everybody stand, please. Sister, come to the piano.